Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of full transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, wilt purge my guilt away. And what follows, Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 19, the verses 16 through 42. John 19, beginning with the 16th verse. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. And now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. And now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wounded in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who has been readmitted to the Calgary Hospital, and Mr. and Mrs. Martin and Nadine Van Dyke, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy who remains in the ICU. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, that it has pleased thee in thy goodness, in thy providence, and in thy long suffering, that thou wast brought us hitherto in this week, where thou wast not taken one among young and old, away by the cold hand of death, but we may still be in the precious day of grace. We may still have a place upon the earth, and then also in this day, then thy care and thy provision has been manifested, where thou wast given many a good gift, and that in a difference with so many upon the face of the earth, that even lacked the bare necessities of life. And then who maketh us to differ, and that is thou, Lord, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And thou was also written in thy word, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. shall have to give an account of all thy goodness, of all thy callings, and of thy word. And then in this day, then thy church may stand still in a special way to remember the death of thy dear Son on the cross of Golgotha, where he is cried out, "It is finished," glorified and harmonized thy attributes, and made a way that sinners may be saved. And now, Lord, we need the application. May it please thee, the first prayer before on the cross by thy dear Son, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Lord, by nature, then we can sin so easily, so lightly, maybe even so boldly, with so little impression before whom we sin. As such a good doing and such a holy God, as so little impression of our guilt and also the punishment that must follow, our Lord. May then in this evening hour, may eyes be opened, the need born for the pardoning of our sins, crying after thee, the living God, thirsting and hungering after righteousness, profound impressions, all under death, and only one step between us and death, and then to count the blood of Jesus Christ an unclean thing, no need, no desire, and no value, but, our Lord, thy dear Son, he has not only merited salvation, also applies the same. May that take place in this evening hour. Our Lord, souls burdened with their sins, bitten with the serpent, may it please thee by thy Spirit that they may come with the burden of their sin and simply by true saving faith to be given to look upon a bleeding and dying Savior with those pierced and outstretched arms, and that for the pardoning of their sins. Thou hast given many a precious invitation in thy holy word concerning those precious matters. And now it is the work of thy Holy Spirit to reveal those precious things. Lord, then on such an evening, we are so dependent upon thee. And to that end, we humbly beg of thee that light, new light, bright light, may shine upon the cross of Calvary with thy crucified Son. Oh, to be given to see the Lamb of God, to be given to behold those wounds whereout of we have heard out of thy holy word that came forth blood and water. Oh, he was forsaken, that thy church shall never be forsaken. He was given to thirst, that thy children may drink of those everlasting waters. He has made the payment. Lord, teach thy people, and not only a revealed Savior, but also the necessity of an applied Savior. The psalmist of old has declared, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And thou hast recorded in the scriptures of King Hezekiah, who has experienced much, but with that revealed Passover lamb, when the message is come, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That he turned himself unto the wall, O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. And then he has experienced that thou hast cast all his sins behind thy back. Lord, wilt thou so work lovingly and richly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of us and our children. Oh, a crucified Savior, it declares a hope, a possibility for us and our children, and thy covenant standeth so sure for thy church, and thou teachest thy church by word and by spirit to that end. Do bless thy holy word in the family circles, in the church, and in our Christian school. Thou was granted unto a father and mother for the second time in their married life, that thou was blessed them with a little child born early, but doing wonderfully well, and hoping that in the near future soon that they may take their precious gift home. Grant unto those parents a broken and a humble heart under thy mercies, and may the prayers be multiplied that he may be won for thee. We commend unto thee grandparents, great-grandparents, with their increased blessing, but also an increased responsibility. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn and the family circles that desire more children. The handicapped daughter was returned to the hospital. We may acknowledge thee that it seems that there is a little progress. Wilt thou continue that it may be so, and that in the near future that she by renewal may return to her dwelling and remain for a time, that the medication may be blessed, and above all, that thy special speaking may be sanctified Remember the parents and the family circle. Then in this week, a husband and father underwent surgery. Thou hast helped him out and helped him through. Made everything so wonderfully well. Wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening, and that this calling may be used for the saving of souls. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, those taking treatments, with others many fears and many concerns. Remember those that struggle with weakness of mind. Remember the crosses and the burdens. And do remember all the mourning ones amongst us. May out of that mourning another mourning be born. And not only a mourning for our sins, but also the further leadings to be given to look and mourn for him whom they have pierced. Such deep and unfathomable love that thy Son was willing to come upon thy earth. Thou hast given him as a precious gift, that even the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Our Lord, may sinners have come up in this evening hour with a beggar's prayer and sigh, that on this evening they may be given to behold something of the riches of thy salvation. We commend all the elderly unto thee. They may remember another Good Friday. The old must die, and the young can die. We now humbly ask thee for thy help. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou open thy precious testimony? Wilt thou open the eyes and the hearts? Go then from bench to bench, from heart to heart. Remember those that are lawfully entered, the sick ones. Do grant a blessing in the dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 185, the stanzas 5, 6, 7, and 8. How well known to thee is my reproach, my shame and my disgrace, the adversaries of my soul are all before thy face. And what follows? This evening there is one collection for Bethesda, Psalter 185, the stanzas 5 through 8. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Colossians 2 and there of the 14th verse, where God's word and our text reads thus, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and nailing it to his cross. Our text words speak of the blotting out of the handwriting. In the first place, the contents of this handwriting. Secondly, the method of blotting out this handwriting. And in the third place, the blessed proclamation concerning this handwriting. The blotting out of the handwriting, the contents of this handwriting, the method of blotting out this handwriting, and the blessed proclamation concerning this handwriting. Beloved congregation, the Lord is granted by renewal unto us and our children, that we may come up to God's house, and on this day the church may remember and meditate upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. 1 year ago on Good Friday, then there were those present, younger ones, middle-aged and elderly ones, that are no more. And we may still be in the precious day of grace. And then this day is called Good Friday. Of course, we do not find that expression in the scriptures. But why has it now been called Good Friday? Oh, it is true. For the Son of God, it was a day of anguish, was a day of darkness, a day of being forsaken, a day when he has experienced the wrath of his Father against sin. And yet, Good Friday, in the first place, and then reverently speaking, concerning a triune God, oh, for the Father, when he was given to behold his beloved Son as his willing servant, that at the end he is not drawn back, but he has so willingly went to the cross to be nailed on that cursed cross to satisfy justice, where the Son has made a way, where the Father may be brought back into communion with his chosen church. It was Good Friday for the Son, where he was enabled, oh, the divine nature has sustained, that he was willing and that he has come to the end of the state of his humiliation as active and passive obedience, that his Father's attributes may be glorified and harmonized, and that is a reward, as I read in Psalm 2, verse 8, that is a reward that he may receive his bride. Good Friday for the Holy Spirit, because the three divine persons, they are one, and upon that finished work of Christ, and then the Holy Spirit can dwell in the hearts of sinners. And as the Eliezer of old, and that he may win a Rebecca for the greater Isaac. Oh, it is a good Friday for his church, for a people that have learned what great sinners they are, for a church that has experienced that they can never pay the price, for a people that has experienced that their debt only becomes greater. Oh, have a few such souls come up in this evening hour with a burden of sin, bitten by the serpent, and still no solution. Have their souls come up with a beggar's prayer, that in this evening hour by eyes of faith, that they may be given to see him who was white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s, that they may see him as the sacrifice, as their substitute, and as their surety, because do we not read in Numbers 21 of that people that have been bitten, when they were given to look upon that serpent, that they were perfectly healed? All for the church of Jesus Christ, they learn how dependent they are also on Good Friday, because there is such a riches of the cross. Oh, the blood of the cross and the power of the cross, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. Oh, what does the child now need? What the angels have declared unto the shepherds, for unto you was born this day in the city of David, and not only to be given to behold the born child, but to be given to behold him on the cross with those outstretched arms, those precious invitations for a poor and for a needy people. But in Luke 2, then the angel has also declared glad tidings which shall be to all people, and therefore, congregation, it may yet be declared Good Friday in a crucified Savior. It may be declared that there is a way for sinners to be saved, that their sins may be pardoned, that they may be reconciled, that they may be restored into that blessed communion with the Lord. And now in our text, then the riches thereof is declared in a few words. Then the Colossians in the first two chapters, there it speaks of the riches of the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ for their justification. And then in the chapters 3 and 4, then it speaks more of sanctification. And then we read in the first chapter in verse 12, given thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And before our text, then we read, hath he quickened together with him, young and old, has that now taken place. By almighty grace have we been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, that our eyes have been opened to see our deplorable state, and that everything has become so different. The love of the Lord shed abroad in the heart, a hating and weeping over our sin. Oh, to learn that separation, then we start to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The life of the child of God is declared in the scriptures, and how happy they are when they may find their life declared. But the Lord has a people, and that is now the work of the Holy Spirit, to lead his children further, that they may come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Because our text that speaks of solemn things, that speaks of handwriting of ordinances, that is against us. Boys and girls, just think of a person of a country that has transgressed the law of the land, and now in the police office on the wall there is a large paper with his name, and on that paper written all the different ways in which he has transgressed. And of course, then it goes to court. That would be a solemn thing. Then surely, as such a one would not walk so easy over the earth, many times perhaps laying awake, what shall the punishment be, whether he has to go into prison? But what is that compared to our text words? Because we read, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and that handwriting that refers in the Greek to a legal document in the courts, and the ordinances that refers to the law. And now we read in our text the handwriting of ordinances, and that is not in a police office, but that is in the heavens, written by the Lord, all our sins and our transgressions. And surely the list is great, the list is long. Have we ever become exercised with it? That long list of our sins and of our transgressions. Oh, on that handwriting of those ordinances, there is written Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Our original sin, and what a number of actual sins. First table, second table, thoughts, words, and deeds, public and private. The handwriting that was against us, we read concerning the Decalogue in Exodus 31 verse 18. Two tables of testimonies of stone written with the finger of God. And then for the Jewish nation, also the ceremonial laws. They testified of their sins, the great number of animals that were sacrificed, the morning and the evening sacrifice double on the Sabbath day, and yet each day by renewal. Then the altar called for a sacrifice, and it called for blood. And now it is specifically stated in our text, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. In the economy of the Trinity, then it is the Father that upholds his justice. Oh, in paradise, then there was nothing contrary to us. Then in Adam and Eve, with a holy joy and with a holy delight, they were given to walk with sweet communion with the Lord, with the high praises in their lips. And then there was a perfect union, nothing against us and nothing contrary to us. But now through our deep fall and our actual sins, and 'tis now the work of the Holy Spirit to show unto his people, a sinner, that handwriting that is against them. It is all recorded in the heavens. Oh, young and old, we shall all be confronted with that handwriting. Do we oftentimes think of it, that great handwriting of ordinances before a holy and a just God that is before us? And on that handwriting, not only our sins, our great guilt, and the punishment due to those sins, which must be executed. Oh, have we become busy with it, with that handwriting, because we shall all be confronted with it. Ah, for God's people, that takes place here in the time. Because do we not read in John 16, the verses 8 through 10, and when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But oh, young and old, if that does not take place here in the time, oh, we need them to have them blotted out here in the time, in the precious time of grace, the time that the Lord is still gathering his church by word and by spirit. Because if that does not take place here in the time, then what a solemn moment it shall be when the book shall be opened, and then publicly, as I read in Revelation 20, when the Lord Jesus Christ, who was despised here in the time, rejected, his blood counted an unclean thing, and that the inhabitants of the earth, they declare with their deeds and with their words, sometime both, sometime boldly, we will not have this man to reign over us. But young and old, I read in Philippians that every knee shall bow, and that shall be all our knees, young and old. But if it does not take place here in the time, then I read in Revelation 20 that the book shall be opened. Oh, it is written in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure your sins shall find you out. And in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And now the Lord has a people, because the Spirit, oh, he makes room for that blotting out of that handwriting. He makes room for the dear Son of God. That is the special work of the Spirit. No, the Spirit does not place himself on the forefront, but he is given to glorify the dear Son of God as the way to the Father and the way to receive the pardon of all of our sins. And then that people become so troubled with that handwriting. They become so troubled with their sins, with their guilt, and with their punishment, and how they are given to cry unto the Lord. Oh, how they put many an effort forth that the handwriting may be canceled, that it may be blotted out. Oh, then it is their desire to live according to the law of the Lord and to his honor. But the Lord requires in his justice, oh, concerning that handwriting, do we not read in Lord's Day number 5, since by the righteous justice of God we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there then a way that I may escape this well-deserved punishment and be restored into favor? God will have his justice satisfied, and this satisfaction must be made by us or by another. Oh, young and old, have we become exercised with it? Have we become troubled with our sins? Have we become troubled with that handwriting and those ordinances? Oh, that is against us, that is so contrary to us. The Lord has a people that has learned, that is given to cry, and that is given to beg. And the Spirit teaches them that sincerity is not enough, because the heathen religions, all so much sincerity, then a promise, then doing their best, their desire, then they learn that it does not cancel, that it does not blot out that handwriting. The soul learns that they cannot appear before such a holy and a majestic God with that handwriting against them, because it is written in Galatians 3 verse 13, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But oh, now on Good Friday and this evening, then we may remember, then we may commemorate in a special way that there is a way that that handwriting may so perfectly blot it out, and that for the honor of the Father, for a triune God, and that the church may be saved. And to that end, the method of blotting out the handwriting. And then we read, blotting out. Those words mean, boys and girls, to erase, to wipe away. When you have a whiteboard and there is matters written on that whiteboard, then it is possible that you take an eraser and that you wipe it clean, and that there is nothing of that writing left. And that is now what our text speaks of. And they tell us in the days of old, in the times of the Bible, then when a debt was canceled and paid for, then such a document that would be placed in a public place that everyone could read it, and that there was also a hole put through that document that the debt was paid. And now we read in our text words the method that that handwriting of ordinances that was against us which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That is now the wonder of salvation. We're concerning the salvation of the church. In eternity there was counseled, and that concerned all the attributes of the Lord, that a way was found out, that each and every one of the Lord's attributes would be glorified to the fullest. And that is only possible of the necessity of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then in eternity, there was spoken of the handwriting of ordinances that was so contrary to the church, how it could be taken away. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, the love of the Father, willing to give his dear Son that sinners, enemies may be saved, but also the love of the Son, that he was willing to take all the handwriting of all his people throughout all the ages, that he was willing to take that handwriting upon him, and to that end stand guilty, very guilty, before his Holy Father that is of pure eyes, that can behold iniquity, that cannot look on evil. And then we read in our text words, his cross does not say a cross, the cross, but in our text words, it says his cross. And that cross that was appointed already in eternity. And then Christ has come forward, willing to be that mediator, willing to suffer and to die, willing to go to the cross. Oh, then 9 o'clock in the morning, then the Son of God, the Lamb of God, has been examined whether there was any blemish. And then each time by renewal, then the testimony, I find no fault in this man, as the innocent Lamb of God. And yet the Father has placed upon him the handwriting. Ah, the child of God learns their many and great sins, but now the handwriting of the whole church of God was placed upon him. And to that end, he has went to the cross. Cannot be fathomed, cannot be comprehended, but it must be believed. Oh, see him then, the Son of God, that wicked hands, Jews and Gentiles. Oh, people of God, have we learned it? My sins, they are the nails, they are the hammer that have nailed the dear Son of God to the cross. Oh, see him then, how that those wicked hands have taken him. They have unclothed him, that the church may be clothed by his righteousness. I'll see him then, the cross on the ground, outstretched arms, and there they have nailed those blessed hands, those blessed feet, that have done nothing but good, that have went through the land, healing the sick, helping the distressed. Ah, that makes sin for the child of God so bitter, that they have sinned against such a merciful, good-doing, and long-suffering God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ah, may that prayer be answered in this evening hour, because when we are unconverted, then we do not know what we do. Then we do not see the sinfulness of sin. Then we have so little impression, still a blessing when there may be some impression. But congregation impressions are not enough. We need, by the uncovering work of the Spirit, to become a sinner. We need to become the sinner with that handwriting against us, exercised with the Lord's justice, because justice needs to be satisfied. But see then the Son of God, oh, the handwriting, because when we consider Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read those profound words, not that he has taken the sin, but that he was made sin. And in Galatians 3, verse 13, that he was made a curse, and to that end, taken the cross, put it upright, and there the Son of God is hung, as it were, the handwriting of ordinances that was contrary, that was against us, that was nailed to the cross. For the Son of God, no room upon the earth, and no room in heaven, and so he is hung in between. Ah, do we not read that he was led outside of Jerusalem, outside of the gate, that in that way, that he may merit for the child of God those heavenly mansions above? Oh, see him then, the bleeding, the dying Savior, with outstretched arms, bearing the wrath of Father against the handwriting that was so against this church. Oh, at 12 o'clock noon, boys and girls, what has happened? Then the sun was darkened. Darkness came upon the earth. For 3 hours, the Son of God, with the handwriting of his church upon him, nailed to the cross. And then those bitter words, the fourth cross word. Oh, the first cross word was Father. The seventh cross word was addressed to his Father. But the middle cross word, the fourth cross word, was not addressed to his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There he has bore the bitter agonies of hell. There the powers of hell have descended upon him. That was now the way appointed for the Son of God, that that handwriting of ordinances against the church may be blotted out. The Son of God, cried out, I thirst, that his church shall never have to thirst. He has suffered. He has died for the church of God. And to that end, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, young and old. What does Good Friday mean to us? What does a crucified Son of God hanging on the hill of Calvary, forsaken of his Father in pitch black darkness, what does it mean to us? Have we become exercised therewith? Oh, in this day, have we thought about the dear Son of God? Have we thought about the handwriting about our sins? That sin requires satisfaction. The Lord, oh boys and girls, when we think of that document in the police office, then the police officers maybe do not put everything that we have done wrong, but only certain charges. And then in the courts, when there is shown a little remorse, then the judge many times they are lenient. But the judge of the heavens and of the earth, so holy, so pure, cannot overlook one sin. Have we now become a sinner, exercised with that handwriting, and learned that we can never blot out? Can try not to think about it, congregation, but that does not make no difference, because it is recorded in the heavens. But oh, a crucified Savior, what a rich proclamation for poor and for needy sinners that have learned the burden of their sin. That is a people that have learned that sin causes separation, and it is a God they cannot miss. They are given to cry and to beg, and now it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, are there such sinners in my midst that it is not a strange language? Cannot deny what the Lord has done. Have received encouragements, but the debt needs to be paid. Now the church learns that with her tears, that they cannot wash and wipe that handwriting away, and not by the works of the law. But what a rich proclamation, O people of God. Then what a privilege and what a blessing it is when the Lord grants those meditations, when we may be given to see a little light upon the cross of Calvary, the great love of the Son, that he was willing to suffer and to die, and that for a sinner as I am, and that in continuing, because the church learns that that old man, that flesh is never converted, the wonder only becomes greater. And what a privilege and what a blessing it is when it may be experienced what he read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they shall mourn for him whom they have pierced, as one mourneth for an only son. And there are those in our midst, they know what it is to mourn for a child, for a wife, and for a husband. Ah, that morning then the tears flow freely when they are given to see the love of the bridegroom. Oh, he was offered a drink when they have crucified him. That was to nullify, that was to make that they would not feel the pain to the full extent. But then we read that Christ has denied it. And why? Because Hebrews 12 verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, oh, the willing servant of the Father, the dowry that he would pay, that he would be fully conscious of the price that he was paying before his Father, that his church may be set free. Oh, then in a crucified Christ, then the church may be given to see that Christ has taken their place, that he has taken their death and their hell, that the handwriting may be blotted out. Let us first sing Psalter 362, the stanzas 1 and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows, Psalter 362, 1 and 3. Thank you. the blotting out of the handwriting, the contents of this handwriting, the method of blotting out this handwriting, and now thirdly, the blessed proclamation concerning this handwriting. And then we read of three matters, three expressions to declare the riches of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We read of blotting out and took it out of the way and nailing it to his cross. Then sin is such a bitter thing, can never be undone, can be circumstances that a person would give anything to undo what they have done. But that handwriting is recorded in the heavens. And then we read, and took it out of the way. And when we consider that expression, what was now necessary to put it out of the way, then we think of Genesis 3, verse 24. Adam and Eve, driven out of paradise. How often Adam and Eve cannot be different, not all written in the Bible, but that Adam and Eve, that they have spoken much to one another, hope husbands and wives, that you also do that concerning the Lord and the one thing needful, that they were given to speak of those blessed days. The general thought is that it was not so long, but that they were given to speak of those days when it was all bliss, all happiness, all praise, sweet communion, given to speak of the covenant of works, undoubtedly given to think, why were we so disobedient and so foolish to listen to the serpent? But outside of paradise, and when they looked, then the entrance boys and girls, what was there? Cherubims with that sword that turned every way. And now there was one way to return, and that is to come under that sword and to be killed. But now we read in our text, I took it out of the way, Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my own fellow. Then Christ was willing in the place of his people to place himself under that sword, crucified, and he has died, that a way may be opened. Took it out of the way, but now it is necessary for the church to learn how it was taken out of the way can be the life of a true child of God, that the Lord grants many a comfort, many encouragement. Lord, sheds his love abroad, only possible through our text. And then it can seem to be good, can even seem that their sins seem to be covered, but now it is needful for the child to learn, taking it out of the way, but how has it now went with that handwriting? Nailed it to his cross to be led with the burden of sin. The Lord is just to be led to the cross of Calvary, and there with the burden of their sin to be enabled to look upon him, the Son of God. Oh, the bride is said in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 10, white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Gita Debris, in the confession of faith, then he has worded it so beautiful, that out of the wounds of Christ flow forth all manner of consolation. Oh, the cost and the benefits, nailing it to his cross, justification, sanctification, and in that way, blotting out the handwriting, the church that was contrary, that was against us, that condemned us, and nailing it to the cross. Oh, this sixth crossword, it is finished. Greek it is telos, a rich meaning that everything has been completed, but also that the price is paid. And now in the scriptures, then we read precious expressions. In Isaiah 43 verse 25, I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. Isaiah in Hezekiah in his song, Isaiah 38 verse 17, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The God-fearing Hezekiah, a blessed reign, a blessed reformation, a great and blessed Passover, where the Passover lambs were sacrificed. Hezekiah was given to see the Lamb and the bloodshed. But what Hezekiah now learned, that with the revealed righteousness, that he could live, but that with that revealed Passover, that he could not die. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And then he turned himself to the wall. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And then on that sick bed, the Lord has given the application. And therefore he could sing that the Lord has cast all his sins behind his back. Congregation, another Good Friday. Boys and girls, how many crosses on Golgotha? Then you shall say three. That is correct. On the center, Christ, dividing between the one on the right and left side. And now Christ crucified, that makes a separation. Oh, we have read it out of John 19. That triple cross title, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. May I ask you, young and old, has he now become your king? Do you love the king? Have you learned to bow before the king? Have you come under his prophetical office, his teaching? Ah, that is such a precious teaching. None teaches like him. But, and that shall become evident in her life. But now, Good Friday, the church learns they need a Savior. They need Christ. They need a high priest. Oh, what precious work. What precious words. Blotting out the handwriting. Not some, not most, but all. And then the child is set free. O Christ, the prophet Isaiah has prophesied in Isaiah 61 verse 1 that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to proclaim good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison door to the bound, O congregation. In our text words, there is declared a way, the only way for us and our children. May the prayers be multiplied. Oh, then in this evening hour, then it may be proclaimed that Balaam of Gilead, the physician, that can heal to the uttermost. We shall close with the words of Paul to the Corinthians, also concerning Good Friday. Thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Lord, who was able and who is sufficient to proclaim the riches, the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ. Ah, Lord, do convert the unconverted. We read by the cross of those women that were standing afar off. Ah, they need to be brought nigh by the blood. And of the church on the evening of the resurrection, that thou wast open their understanding. Lord, work then richly and mightily by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. And may we now return to our dwellings and given to meditate and pray about that handwriting, that we honestly examine how it is with that handwriting. Lord, do wonders from above. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Keep us the remainder of this week, and that we may see one another in thy house on the coming Lord's Day, to remember that he is risen indeed. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 83, the three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And the consistory announces that there is a book at the exit entitled The Spiritual Pilgrim for each family and each single confessing member. And the extra collection on Sunday is for the Ezra for Israel. Psalter 83, the three stanzas. I save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.